Welcome to Leaders and Legends of Online Learning, a podcast dedicated to the experts. Thank you for listening. Each episode, we'll be learning from the world's leading thinkers and practitioners in online learning and linking to ideas relevant to online teaching, working with online learners, and digital education. You can listen to the experts and check their profiles and link to some of their work on our website, www.onlinelearninglegends.com. I'm Mark Nichols, the interviewer in this episode. You'll meet Professor João Matar in this episode. João is president of the Distance Education Association of Brazil, with an extensive publication record. He's also translated many English works into his native Portuguese. It should be no surprise, he's a specialist in distance education with the Pontifical Catholic University of São Paulo following an early career change. This podcast is sponsored by the International Council for Open and Distance Education, ICDE, the leading global membership organization working towards bringing inclusive, quality education to all. By joining the ICDE global network of flexible and distance learning, you can help transform the world through inclusive education. Become a member or find out more by visiting www.icde.org. I'm talking with Professor João Matar, a specialist in distance education with the Pontifical Catholic University of São Paulo in Brazil. João has over 75 publications across a broad range of subject areas in education, including games and connectivism. And he's president of ABED, the Distance Education Association of Brazil. João, it's wonderful to be talking with you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Excellent. Can we start with a brief overview of your career and publications?
Actually, I have a background in philosophy and undergraduate. In Brazil, we have the major courses are undergraduate. So I have an undergraduate background in philosophy and also in languages and literature. So I started in the humanities, let's say. And somehow during my life, I was kind of called by distance education. I actually, at the end of the 1990s, I studied at Stanford University. I did a postdoc research. I was a visiting scholar. And distance education was far away more developed than in Brazil, in the United States, for sure. So I was already interested in technology in the beginning of distance education in Brazil. And then when I went to the United States, since that time, I started to dedicate most part of my life to distance education or online learning. I worked at different universities in Brazil. Now I have been working for a long time at PUC, Pontifícia Universidade Católica, in São Paulo, but actually it's a face-to-face course. We, at the end of last year, we had the first online master's degree approved in Brazil. That's funny because we have a lot of undergraduate courses offered, but it was the first master's degree. So I work in a master's and doctorate program, but it's a face-to-face program. But I research basically educational technology and distance education. I usually consider educational technology a higher, bigger than, wider than distance education, because there is a lot of, as you said, I worked a lot with digital games, also virtual worlds. I worked a lot with Second Life in that moment where Second Life was in a hype.
Yeah.
But distance education is actually my focus of research. And now, as a president of the Brazilian Association of Distance Education, not only research, but also work in the daily basis.
Excellent. It sounds as though the Stanford experience was very formative for you. What was it about what happened there that really switched you on to distance education?
Yeah, I spent 1 year and a half at Stanford University. Usually we do visiting scholars or postdoc research in a lower time. But I spent 1 year and a half. Actually, when I got to Stanford, I spent the first months living inside the campus. And I remember there was a place where I didn't know what exactly was in the wall, down on the wall. But it was actually a place where I could connect my internet and connect to my computer. This was far away of happening in Brazil. This was not. So I spent some time without knowing that. I remember that there are some places at Stanford that you can go even during midnight, for example, and you have a support of people who are working with whatever the students have to do as assignments, so they are ready to help you. And there was internet connection, so that was very important. And Stanford is a high-tech university, a university on the computer science side. So yeah. Actually, it helped me to study a little more, to know what was going on outside Brazil. And since I got back, I started to go to the Brazilian Association of Distance Education, ABED, meetings. And so it was very important, but not only on professional side, also because California is a wonderful place, and you have the beaches, you have the parks nearby, Yosemite, Sequoia. So it was a really a dream, actually.
Mm. So when you were at Stanford, how advanced was online education? Was distance education being done by correspondence, or what were some of the ways in which they were exercising online education then?
No, actually, in the United States, internet was more developed than in Brazil. So there were a lot of experiences with online education already. But I remember that even after I returned from Stanford, I enrolled in an online course at Berkeley University, and it was everything by correspondence. Actually, I had to do my homework. I had to return. So there is not a progressive line that you just left something. There's an important article by John Donne and Terry Anderson where they talk about the three pedagogies of distance education, which are cognitive behaviorism, social constructivism, and then connectivism. But at the end, they say the three generations are still alive. So at that time, internet was starting, but there was still correspondence education going on.
It must have been very interesting taking that new experience back to Brazil, particularly given the technological infrastructure, probably not the same.
Yeah, it's important to note that like the Brazilian Association was founded in 1995. So even before I went to Stanford, Professor Lito, who is an American who came to Brazil and was the president for 29 years until last year, he probably had a vision at that time. So we were still in correspondence education in Brazil for sure, and even outside Brazil in many countries. But the experience was interesting, but more in the sense that putting me inside this whole field of distance education. I had like the experience of using the internet and things like that, but I didn't go to Stanford to research distance education. Actually, my research was more in comparative literature. That was my focus at that moment. So this was like a new introduction because I was already introduced in Brazil to that field. Then since then, I didn't leave the field anymore.
Good. So you must have seen a lot of changes then in the online learning space over those years. I mean, Second Life, that's no longer really used much in higher education. So you would have seen a lot of innovation, a lot of technology come and go. How would you describe some of the online experiences you've had over the past few decades? What have you noticed about how technology is advancing?
I used to say that at the beginning, I was really focused on technology, even because educational technology is my, let's say, my general field of research. And so I worked with digital games, which are more used in face-to-face education than distance education. The research on digital games in distance education is very interesting because now it's more used, but at the beginning you had to, like, literature reviews would not return many researches in the area. I worked with Second Life, which is somehow a game, or in a general sense, virtual worlds. That was a very creative period because there were people all around the world working with education inside virtual worlds at that time, the Second Life. So this was very interesting. The learning management systems developed a lot, so they introduced aspects of social networks. They introduced aspects of, for example, synchronous conversations. So there was a lot of development on that side also. Now we have artificial intelligence, virtual reality. So there was a lot of development. But I used to say that my research started focusing on technology, but it little by little, it went to the side of methodologies. So I see that a great development were people or research that could mix technology and methodology for online learning. That was very interesting. And I mentioned Terry Anderson, for example. His research is very interesting in that sense that he kind of relates technology and methodology. And what is happening on my career now, since I took the power as the president of ABED, is that I'm starting to work a lot in what I think is also your focus of research and practice, on the management side of online learning. Because as the president of the association, I mean, I cannot work only on methodology or teaching and learning aspects or even technology. And we are going in Brazil through, actually since the last 2 years, we are facing a lot of criticism to online learning, and the government is actually giving steps back in terms of not allowing any more courses that were already being offered by online learning, and also prohibiting new courses that were still not approved. So I'm having to work a lot in the sense of management in a wide sense, in terms of the country, what the government is doing with that. So this has been really a lot of changes that are going on in Brazil. A discourse about quality, like questioning about the quality of online learning, comparing to face-to-face. So I'm actually jumping in that discussion right now.
Good. Yeah, I think around many countries around the world, online learning does need a lot of advocacy because it is so easy to do, and of course, so easy to do badly. Good luck to you as you fight that good fight. Joel, the ideas and themes your work has provided. So you've got over 75 publications. No doubt you've reached into some very interesting elements of online education. What are some of the work that you think you provided that you sense is very pertinent today?
I have a lot of books published in Portuguese. I have some research papers published in journals in English, but I have a lot of books published in Portuguese. So there are actually mostly two books that are most important. One is called ABC da EAD. That would mean ABC of distance learning. So ABC da EAD, it's a general book that gives a general information about distance education, history, technologies, methodologies. It's funny because this book is probably more than 10 years old. It was first written, and it's still a lot mentioned, quoted, cited, and people mention a lot. And there's a second book, which is Games in Education, Games in Educação. It doesn't talk specifically about distance education. This is like a general book of even face-to-face use, but it's also a book that is used a lot in Brazil. Then I have several papers in journals. Actually, during the last years, I have been involved in researching, I didn't talk about that, researching methodologies and digital competences, and also digital competences in online learning. I have many publications during the last years in English, and they are being quoted and cited a lot. So this is something that I forgot to talk. This is my research at the moment, besides that management aspect of online learning, also digital competences. So I think this gives a general idea of the publications. Many things are in Portuguese, actually, but I'm writing more and more in English during the last years.
Great. Yeah, digital competencies are certainly a major interest across many countries today. As technology becomes more pertinent and more diffuse, there's a lot of effort going into people being able to use it correctly.
I'm actually working, because digital competence is more research related to face-to-face learning. But I'm working a lot in like we have revised the frameworks that were produced for digital competence. And there are not frameworks specifically for digital education or for online learning. And so that's something that we are developing in our international research. It's a very interesting research ecosystem that there are many things like you can work on the digital competence of the online learning students, digital competence of the online learning professors, educators, digital competence of the management side aspect. So it's a very prolific research field for online learning.
Many, many layers to it.
Yeah.
So, Zhao, it's now April 2024, so the year is well underway. What are your observations about online learning at the present time? How does it look, firstly in Brazil, and perhaps then internationally?
Yeah, Brazil, we are facing that problem that I already talked about, and it's a challenge of proving that online learning has quality, at least the same quality of face-to-face learning. What is happening like worldwide, besides this discussion of quality that, as you said, is also present in many countries, but what we saw like in the last year, last 2 years, were two main points. First of all, what we called emergency remote teaching during the COVID pandemic. Yeah. So this changed a lot. Even schools in basic education that didn't offer online learning started to offer after the COVID was gone. During the COVID, everything was done online. But after the pandemic, it seems that many schools, universities started to improve the offer of distance learning. So this changed the landscape. And I believe we are still trying to understand what happened country by country, yeah, because the effects were different depending on the country. But also we have been seeing a lot of influence of artificial intelligence. Although artificial intelligence is not a new phenomenon, actually this has been used for a long time, but many softwares came on, many tools started to be used. We have now, for example, a lot of research with chatbots working as tutors in online learning. In Brazil, it seems to be something that is not accepted, but even in Brazil, very interesting research. So there's an initial layer of discussion, of support that can be done very well by chatbots, even better than people. And so you leave the time for the tutor to work, for the humans to work in issues that are more qualitative, more important. So the use of artificial intelligence, even in production of content for online learning, in the management of the course. I was reading one of these days here in Brazil, a research with artificial intelligence, how it's working to help to manage the courses.
And yeah,
it's incredible, the effects, the time gain that we have. So I believe that this is something that it's actually one of the themes of the Congress that we will have in Brazil in September, besides quality, which is the major theme. But artificial intelligence is present in many of the papers that are being sent to the Congress, many of the roundtables that are being proposed. So I think we are still starting to understand what exact contributions that we can have by artificial intelligence. There's a book by Zawaki Richter. When I was researching for the people that are already interviewed in the podcast, I realized he was there. He published a book last year. He organized a book with 80 chapters, which is a Springer book, but it's open. It's totally open. It's a Creative Commons license. And one of the chapters is artificial intelligence in digital education, online education. But the problem is that the chapters is written, then it's revised, then the book takes time to be published. When it's published, it's not updated anymore because things are happening so quick. And so besides research papers, their reports are being very important. And when you have these new technologies like influencing everything, these tend to be more updated, actually.
It's an incredibly difficult time for trying to get traction in artificial intelligence, that the field is moving so quickly. It's also so easy to overestimate, but also underestimate AI and what it can do in education. So very, very timely to consider that.
The problem is that the practice goes faster than the research. When you look back, you'll see that some universities, some schools have incorporated artificial intelligence in a most practical way. And it's still not present in a literature review or in chapters or books, but you have to look at the practice actually in New Zealand, in Brazil, and in other countries.
Yeah, we're certainly using it at Open Polytechnic. We're working on a few projects now to try and productionize elements of AI, but it is very hard to find international benchmarks. It's not an easy field to be a follower in at the moment. So, Joe, the research you'd most like to see, you open a journal up, you find the perfect article. What's it about?
Well, I would probably want to read an article on these new technologies, mainly in artificial intelligence. And because this chapter that I mentioned, he actually focuses a lot on the tools.
Yeah.
He kind of gives an outline of tools that are being used in artificial intelligence, for example, by the teachers, by the students, and by the management in the three senses. I'd like to read something on the methodology, how artificial intelligence is impacting and changing the methodology of online learning. Because we have years of research. I checked the people that already participated on the podcast. You have the history of distance education, people that were important since the beginning. And so we have who is outside of the field doesn't know that, but we have a strong and solid background of theory and methodology and practice registered. A research on how these technologies are influencing the practice, the methodology of practice of students, of professors, of institutions, organizations. I think this would be very interesting to understand. As you said, we still don't have a general orientation on what to do, but we can start to reflect a little bit, to think about how this is changing or how this could change, even in terms of previewing what is going to happen. So there's a small article by Terry Anderson when he talks about the dance of technology and methodology in distance education. How is artificial intelligence influencing that dance? This would be an article that I would like to read at that point. Besides what I'm reading, that's because of my position now and the situation in my country, I'm reading a lot about quality in distance education. And this is actually, if you have not been to that field, it's a huge field of research, and because you have quality references all around the world, several countries have their own references. These references have to be updated because technology changes everything. That's what we are saying. So I'm reading a lot, and it may seem a field that is not so interesting, but when you start to read, actually quality involves everything. It involves technology, involves methodology, involves tutors, involves students. So, and there are a lot of nice articles, but updated articles, articles that talk about quality now, influenced by artificial intelligence, influenced by what happened on the COVID pandemic. And so rethinking quality in online learning, I think that's something I'm looking forward to read new articles on that.
It sounds like you've got a lot of work to do, important work to do in Brazil as well, to advocate for open distance education and online learning.
I have been translating a lot of articles and books from English to Portuguese. If you check my research, like the article that I mentioned, the three pedagogies by John Donne and Terry Anderson, I have translated to Portuguese. I have translated several books. Last year, for example, we translated 13 chapters from the Zawaki Richter book. So I think this is a part of my contribution, because not everybody in Brazil reads English. There are now the translators, they work very well, but it's not like reading in the original. So translating articles, translating reports, translating books. This has been my contribution, and it's part of the work I'm doing, as you said. A lot of work to do, and we are doing a lot of work. Like, we already have a good bibliography of translations that certainly helps a lot of people to get into the field or to study the field of online learning.
Excellent. What a fantastic work. And I'd imagine you're learning a lot too as you go through that translation process.
Sure.
Yeah, you must know those books very intimately.
It's really something that I have started many years ago, and then I didn't stop. Whenever I see I get to a research that I find it's very interesting, I translate to Portuguese.
Excellent. Well, João, two people you'd recommend as leaders or legends of online learning, one whose work or perspective is significantly influencing you now, and someone who you think otherwise might have a good perspective to share.
Yeah, I think Lorenzo Garcia, which is a UNED professor, he retired now. He was the leader of the Cátedra de Educação à Distância de Espanha. I believe he speaks English or writes in English, but his major work is in Spanish. He has inspired me a lot, and he was in Costa Rica in the ICD meeting. But he said something at that presentation that his life was dedicated to online learning, and he had worked on four major issues. First, to explain what distance education is. Second, to defend distance education against criticism. Then to train people to work on the field and research and publish. I think this gives a very good perspective to what we do when we love online learning. Yep. So this is one person that I thought was interesting to mention. And there's a professor in Brazil, which is called Patricia Bear. You probably have a chance to meet her in our Brazilian meeting. But she publishes a lot in English. She's actually Argentinian. She speaks a lot of Spanish and travels a lot. And she's leading a lot of research in Brazil on competences on online learning, more recently, and digital competence on online learning, and more recently, emotional competences, something that they are calling digital emotional competences. And I think her work, it's already known, not only in Brazil, but worldwide, but that she's somebody that influences me, and I think she has a lot of contributions to the field in a worldwide sense.
Excellent. Well, João, thank you for the contribution you're making to distance education of Portuguese across Brazil and internationally. You are indeed a leader and legend of online learning. All the best as you continue to advocate for distance education in your home country.
Okay, thank you very much.
You can learn more about João and his work from our website. That concludes this episode. Be sure to go to our website, www.onlinelearninglegends.com, to follow up on this episode's guest. You'll also find links to others whose ideas continue to inspire and teach online learning professionals, and you can subscribe to future interviews. If you know of a leader or legend we've not yet talked to, please do drop us a line at onlinelearninglegends@gmail.com.